Bread Film Radio. I'm Matt Micucci from the 50th Carlo Vivari International Film Festival, and I'm joined by the one and only Mark Cousins, who is presenting his latest work, I Am Belfast. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, I'm very happy to.
So would you like to introduce your film to our listeners who may not know what the film is about, although the title kind of suggests what it's about?
Okay, it's a film about a famous city, Belfast, the capital of Northern Ireland, which for 30 years had a war, and people around the world, if they've heard about it, have heard about the war. And it's more than war, you know, like all cities, it's they're multiple, they're multitudes, they're hybrids. And so I wanted to try and make a film that didn't shirk the war, dealt with it, dealt with the trauma and the shame that we feel having done that to each other, but also I wanted to look at the more poetic or dreamlike aspects of a city, that just the everyday pleasures that city life affords.
And did you find it difficult in any way to kind of make a film about your hometown, the place where you grew up?
Yeah, when you make a film about something you know very well, it's like you've got too much information and there's a danger you try to cram it all in, or there's a danger that you just talk about little details and it won't make sense to anybody outside. In other words, it won't be universal. It's when you know a lot about a subject, you know, academics who know a lot about a subject, often they can actually be quite boring on their subject because they're just talking about the little thing, the micro details, and they haven't in a way boiled it down to its essence. And so that was my worry, that I would just make a film that, you know, people in Belfast would get the in jokes in, but it wouldn't expand beyond that. And so you have to, it's not that you sort of, not that I'm saying I had to sort of think of the audience all the time, you're just looking for the sort of root truth in something.
Yeah, kind of like an impressionistic sort of approach.
Yeah, when you think of those impressionistic paintings, you know, you don't need to have been to that beach or that river where they painted. They got a momentary truth in what they were painting, which remains even though it was way back then. And that filmmaking's good at that as well. It's good at capturing little glancing, fleeting truths, and I think I Am Belfast is a film that's got a series of little truths, you know, some nothing too spectacular, you could say, but I think they've got an integrity, perhaps, I hope, which means that even people who aren't from Belfast will get. And I've done a lot of interviews today, I think about 10 interviews with people from different countries, and again they've been saying, oh, it reminded me of my city, or I like that kind of solitude that you get in a city. So that's nice, it seems to be connecting.
Here's another question. In this film, you worked with a cinematographer.
Yes.
So you've gone back to using a cinematographer. What was that like? How did that change your approach?
It's great. I started using cinematographers, and then I shot my own films. And when I shot my own films, I felt closer to the filmmaking. There wasn't somebody in the way, as it were. You know, I was right there framing myself, framing the shot, etc. So I loved that. However, when you get the chance to work with a cinematographer like Christopher O'Doyle, who shot the great Wong Kar-wai films and Gus Van Sant films and Rabbit Proof Fence and things like that, you don't turn it down. And then there were two of us in the imagery rather than one of us. And, you know, if you feel intensely passionately about the image, then you could feel that that's a recipe for disaster or conflict. But in fact, it wasn't. It was more, as a musician, you'll know the way musicians work, where you can, if you write a song with somebody, you do something and they do something, and then it builds. And that's exactly what happened in this case with Chris Doyle and me. I would have a visual idea like, let's paint a wall gold and put the main character in front of that wall and start to think of her as if she's in an icon painting. And he will run with that, and he put a light on the gold wall and then pan the light and then pan the camera, and it's exciting. I wouldn't have done that. And in all my films I've shot myself, there are no pans, not one. Yeah. And suddenly Chris Doyle is doing pans, which is sort of against my principles, and yet I sort of loved it, you know. Yeah. And you realize that, you know, if you're having a conversation with someone and you think you've said your bit, but then they say something that makes you think of something else, and the conversation builds like a structure. That's what happened with me and Chris.
That's great. And also in this film, you're actually working with an actress who is Belfast.
Yes.
What was that like?
It was great. Yeah, for a long time I've made films, quite personal films, where I am in the film as well. And this film also is personal, but if you choose somebody, an actor, to tell the story or to be the eyes in the film, to be the thinker in the film, it means I can put lots of my ideas into that character. But the fact that she's a woman and I'm not, the fact that she's in her 70s and I'm not, made me think, I think, better, slightly more broadly than I otherwise would have done. So it's still filmmaking of a personal kind, but an expanded kind, I think, in a way, because I'm projecting into another human being, and especially in this case, she's a slightly mythic character because she claims that she's 10,000 years old, and therefore when you're writing about a woman who's 10,000 years old, you up your game, I think, I hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about how you actually structured the film. This is a film about Belfast, but it does talk about specific things and like details in a very poetic way. And I'm just wondering how you actually decided and chose what to talk about.
I knew that I didn't want a big, strong story. You know, strong stories for me feel too macho, almost like they're bullies. So I wanted a loose structure, because loose structures by definition have more time in them and more space in them, so that there's time to look and listen, etc. I knew that I had to deal with the war because I wanted to, because it's in our subconscious, it's in our dreams still, etc. But I knew I wanted to look at visual elements, sonic things, etc. So I wanted to put in things that struck me most, the femaleness, the quirky language, the musicality, the fact that the emotions were on the surface, etc. All stuff that I like about Belfast. In terms of how then, once you know what the elements are, how you rearrange them, I always use the same system. I write each scene on a card and then basically lay the cards out and think, you move them around visually. This card could go earlier in the pack and this could go later, etc. It's a very free way of structuring. Mm-hmm. Using these techniques means that you could say that this film's a bit of a hybrid. It's a lot of little scenes rather than a big overall argument or a big overall story. But I don't mind that. You know, I think that, again, that's the way consciousness works. You know, if you think of what's happened to you in the last day, there are lots of different bits. There isn't an overall storyline to your last 24 hours, perhaps, I would guess. You know, different things have happened. Some very realistic, some dreamlike, some pleasurable, some not. Some that you were fully aware of, and some bubbling under at some less conscious level. And if you, in this film, I tried to get some of that mix. It's almost like, you know, the way if Picasso painted a vase, he wouldn't paint it just from one direction, he'd paint it from several directions and combine them and call that cubism. And I think that that's a good model for a filmmaker. You know, don't look at the subject from just one point of view, look at it from different angles.
We should talk a little bit about Six Desires too. Yes. That's also playing in the, yes. at the festival, and that's another great film in there, in the sense that it starts off from a D.H. Lawrence book. Yeah. Not many people might have heard of.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it. It's a book that an Italian producer, Laura Martellino, came and brought to me and said, have you read this? Would you like to make it? And I read it, and I did want to make it. Like many people, I've read D.H. Lawrence and felt myself arguing with him as I read. You know, there's the passion, all the stuff that you really go with, the physicality, the body, all that stuff that, you know, is great. But there's loads of stuff that I feel myself kicking against as I read Lawrence. And so I imagined making a film where I literally had an argument with him. I talked to him directly, but challenged him on certain things. And given my often DIY style of filmmaking, we didn't get funding for the film. We just went and shot it in Sardinia, where he filmed. Trying to combine our trip with his trip, and the ideas, many ideas about politics and imagery and class and modernism and sexuality, all these different things that he encountered. I tried to sort of think them through with him, to the extent that even in this film, the narrator starts as me, but then the voice changes into a woman, you know, because again, that's a very Lawrencean thing, I think.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. And it's the third film in the Highbrow trilogy.
Yes, it's a trilogy of films that are all linked in a way. First of all, they were made for no money. That's a very simple link. A sort of DIY filmmaking, a sort of unplugged sort of filmmaking. But they were linked through a kind of theme, which is sort of the road less travelled. Yeah. Sardinia isn't a place where loads of people go, certainly through the middle. You know, so that was territory that I didn't know well. I'd never been there. The first film in the trilogy is called Here Be Dragons, and it's about Albania, a country I'd never been. I jumped at the chance to go to Albania. And then the middle film is Life May Be, which I co-directed, as you know, with Mania Akbari. And it's a sort of, it's a kind of road less travelled as well. It's a kind of two filmmakers writing to each other about extremely intimate things in a kind of way that is romantic with a capital R, in a way, you know. A degree of sexuality probably is involved in that relationship, but it's sort of a grey area, you know. So that's a road not travelled, and explicitly it's about Iran and bodies. Mania Akbari, you know, had breast cancer and had her breast removed. So a lot of body stuff in there. So three films about unusual subjects made in an unusual way.
And they're awesome. I just absolutely...
Thank you.
So good. So inspiring. And people need to see them. Well, Mark, it was a great pleasure talking with you. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you. Thank you. It's lovely seeing you.
Thanks very much. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio. 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.